From iAfrican Media, this is iAfrican Bites, a podcast that features commentary on African news, insights, opinions, and analysis with tech industry leaders and professionals. The podcasts are from interviews conducted by the iAfrican team, whether at events or when needed for commentary. I'm Badawun Kosokwane, host and editor-in-chief for iAfrican.com, spelled www.iafrican.com.
Welcome to iAfrican Bites on iAfrican, and we're joined by Bites Fuse CEO, Greg Newman. Greg, my French, je m'appelle Badawun. Bonjour, bonjour.
Bonjour.
I don't know how, okay, can you respond?
No.
I thought we would have a French conversation.
I wish, man.
We're in Senegal at the Deep Learning in Indaba 2024. It's been a wonderful week. The week is coming to a wrap, but I mean, we still have a lot of, you know, thought leaders, and, you know, the beautiful thing about being at the Deep Learning Indaba is that you get to really speak with, you know, cutting edge companies that are actually monetizing some of this AI research that has been put out there, and many other sort of AI tools on the continent. Now, Greg, Bytefuse is part of Alpha Wave. We had the lovely pleasure of speaking and interviewing with Franz Meyer,
yep,
who is the CEO of Alpha Wave. What is the relationship between Bytefuse and Alpha Wave?
Sure thing. So Alpha Wave incubated us.
Okay.
So we saw out there, they gave us a lot of space and freedom to play around, to test different ideas. Because we didn't go in there necessarily with an idea of exactly like how we were going to apply AI to South African situations. So we spent the first bit, you know, experimenting a lot, working with different enterprises. People like France gave us tremendous like insights into like how to develop commercially, how to grow the company, that sort of thing. And yeah, we still got that lovely support from AlphaWave.
Now, Craig, Bytefuse, it's an AI company that, yep, specializes in what type of tools. What type of tools are you generating currently?
Sure. So, like I said, we originally spent some time just experimenting with different AI techniques. With Ruan, she's done like some of the practicals before. Uh-huh. We've got a tremendous capability in LLMs and transformers.
Uh-huh.
And we've also got quite a bit of expertise in reinforcement learning.
Uh-huh.
And naturally, we found two products that we're kind of sticking to at the moment in both of those areas. In reinforcement learning, we're working traffic optimization.
Traffic optimization.
So, yeah. Our kind of motto is we find enterprises to partner with who have sort of like the majority of the market or something like that in the domain expertise. And then we come and help them build a product to enhance their value adds through AI. So with transport optimization, what we do is we've got a module called the qubit module that connects to a traffic controller, subscribes to all the sensor data, and then will configure the traffic lights automatically in order to maximize the flow of traffic through that intersection. So what happens there is we experience delays in the commuting time. There's a higher throughput, a reduction in CO2 emissions, and we work very closely with the traffic engineers at the municipality to make their lives easier. So giving them alerts for things like traffic incidents, like accidents or congestions, things like that, so they can get to the scene very quickly, be quite responsive, and they seem to enjoy that working relationship quite well. So at the moment, we've actually got quite a few live test sites. The one we're currently busy with is actually the R44 corridor between, okay, Somerset West and Stellenbosch.
Okay, yeah. And I mean, correct me, and or just, you know, further explain. So the way I'm receiving it is the traffic technology, right?
Yeah.
Optimizing traffic. Do the robots, as and when traffic increases, the robots adapt to that?
Yeah, exactly.
And then let's say traffic is coming from the right, it increases so you have faster right and then slower left.
Exactly.
And then when that, and then it switches back on.
Exactly. Okay. So if you've got an event with some kind of music festival or something like that, mm-hmm, instead of the traffic engineers having to put a custom plan in place or send someone down there to manually control the traffic, they can sense and adapt automatically to those situations. So yeah, it's very, very powerful.
So in terms of the practicality of this module, is it attached to the robot mechanisms? Where is it, an IoT device? Just walk me through.
Yeah, so an IoT device connects to the internet. So we've got full control of what's happening on the sites. Mm-hmm. And then it just connects to existing controllers through an Ethernet cable.
Okay.
So there's existing technology like this out there. So for instance, there's quite a few companies in Europe and America in the same space.
Mm-hmm.
But they're extremely expensive. Mm-hmm. They require infrastructure that isn't really well suited to the African situation, with things like load shedding and stuff like that. Where ours is low cost, super robust, and super reliable. We don't have that overhead of the maintenance that these European companies rely on. And we're also tailoring it quite a bit to the South African situation. Okay. So our traffic patterns are different, our ways of driving are different. Eventually we hope to do things like work closely with municipalities to encourage more public transport, that kind of thing.
Now, Greg, I'm just now thinking, because of the local dynamics in South Africa is such that a lot of municipalities are cash-strapped.
Yes.
So is the end client ultimately a municipality, is it government, or are you looking at private sector clients?
So we've approached a few private sector clients and some things are moving there, but I think ultimately what we're going to do is work closely with municipalities.
Okay.
And like I say, because we're not including all this really sophisticated sensing technology, we're super robust, we're relying on an existing infrastructure, it's much more affordable for them to actually go with us.
100%. Now, that's the reinforcement learning side. Yeah. The representation learning, what sort of solutions are you working on that side?
Great. So there is actually super exciting. We're currently doing a pilot in education. We've partnered with a textbook publisher in South Africa called Maskew Miller Learning. And they actually publish, I think it's like something like 47% of the textbooks in Southern Africa. So what we're doing there is we're training LMs on their content and then able and serving that content to learners and teachers through WhatsApp with the goal of improving learning outcomes in South Africa.
Okay.
So the reason why we've chosen WhatsApp is because, you know, we don't want to make it this very heavy, sophisticated app that only people with iPhones can use. We're going to make it very accessible to everyone. And WhatsApp is just the communication channel that just everyone seems to have on their phones. So yeah, we're enabling people to do things like generate assessments, get practice questions, ask for summaries of certain areas. And what makes us different there is through Maskew Miller and their expertise, we're generating all these assessments to be CAPS compliant. So compliant with the South African situation, the South African curriculum. So, you know, like there's a whole bunch of things that go into it, like making sure that everyone's represented culturally and that the assessments are tailored to the individual. So a very personalized learning journey. So we're calling it the pedagogical LLM project.
Now, this WhatsApp would manifest itself through like a WhatsApp chatbot or something?
Yeah, it's exactly. Okay. So it's a WhatsApp chatbot. We've got 30,000 users already in the pilot, and they're giving us fantastic feedback. The whole idea is that we're sort of like saving teachers time by generating assessments, allowing users to get learners to get access to resources they might not have easily been able to get hold of. It's going really well so far.
Now, Craig, all this, you know, beautiful solutions, they're quite expensive. The computational power behind it. How do you, the resource part of it.
Yeah.
How do you afford the computational power, the tokens and, you know, all this resource? How do you carry all this weight?
Yeah. So obviously through strategic partnerships and some of it. So for example, we're part with Maskew Miller. So we've got access to amazing textbook and educational content through them. As well as like domain expertise, like subject matter experts who can really help us understand like what is a math assessment, what goes into a math assessment, and then they set the bar for the quality that we have to achieve to get anything out there. In terms of resources, so that's on the data side. In terms of the compute side, we've got a partnership going with Amazon at the moment, who's helping us out in terms of credits and things like that. But fundamentally, you know, we're not trying to create a new GPT-4. We're not after these massive, large models with hundreds of billions of parameters. We're finding that we're able to use open source models, so smaller models, 7 billion parameters, 3 to 7 billion parameters, and fine tune those for these tasks. Much cheaper to host, and we've made some hosting innovations as well that are really driving the costs down. And actually, like as a bit of a trick, that's part of that is, you know, we are able to ensure absolute quality. So whenever we give an assessment out there with a memo, someone's actually reviewed that. The teacher or students will get in real time. But we've got very strict and rigorous review processes in there to make sure that like an expert has reviewed everything that we're generating and people get quality at the end of the day.
And the languages, are they mostly South African languages, or are you looking at language outside of South African jurisdiction?
So at the moment, it's just South African languages. What's quite exciting at the moment is the South African government is going through a curriculum change.
And
it's probably going to expand over a few years. And the idea there is future textbooks in South Africa aren't only going to be in English and Afrikaans as part of the curriculum, but they're going to expand to all South African languages. And that's a fundamental pillar in our objectives with the tool.
ByteFuse was amazingly were able to raise money, which is a good thing. I think around, on Crunchbase, I think it was 55 million.
Yeah.
Now that cash injection, how does it bolster a company, a startup like Bitefuse? What does it do? How does it change the culture? What sort of resources and skills does that bring to the company? And how did that, just walk me through the whole raising of that 55, like pre, during, and after.
Sure thing. It started off with us working with Maskey Miller.
Okay.
We did a pilot with them, a very, very small pilot. I think it was about 500 learners. I think they were like a little bit skeptical at first, but at the end of the day, like the results spoke for themselves. The teachers and the learners were like ecstatic with their ability to like access and interact with content. Mm-hmm. And then the investment was sort of like part of a deal with their parent company, Movis, to sort of like secure their interest in AI for education in South Africa. We think the technology is ripe for it. We think the market is ripe for it. We don't necessarily think we're going to be able to natively serve things directly from an LLM to learners anytime soon for things like mathematics. But the way we're going about it, I think, is safe and responsible. I think that resonated quite well with Movis and their objectives. Okay. So the investment was sort of like part of that kind of like idea. In terms of how it's changed the company, so far, just being able to attend things like the Indaba is great. We want to be able to give our employees exposure to like international conferences and things like that. They get to collaborate with the best of the best, and also show and prove to themselves they are part of that community. Uh-huh. They are talented. They're good. You know, like Africa's got a lot to offer. In terms of culture, we likely haven't changed yet. We don't want to. We like thinking of ourselves as a company who we don't take ourselves too seriously, but we take our work very seriously. Yeah. So it's fun. It's innovative. Most of the capital is going to go towards hiring new employees. Uh-huh. So we want to really grow the team to make sure that we can deliver on value. So like I said, we've got over 30,000 teachers and learners on the platform at the moment. We're growing at like almost 1% a day. So if you think about compound interest, so that's going to be a very fast growth curve. And we just want to ensure that, at the end of the day, our users, they pick up their phone, they interact with our system, and they're just absolutely satisfied. So that's the objective right now.
I love the fact that you're looking for talent because, you know, more capital means more expectations. More expectations mean you need smart people to live up to those expectations. Now, Craig, in terms of the talent aspect of things, what type of talent are you looking for? One, two, are you finding it difficult or easy? And is you being here at the Deep Learning Indaba part of that talent searching?
100%. Okay. So I think I've been to almost every Indaba so far. Okay. And just seeing the talents here is absolutely incredible. Uh-huh. Like you look at the posters, they speak for themselves. You chat to the people. Just everyone here is fantastic. Like I like the mindsets of everyone here as well. Like it's awesome. So we're kind of looking for a combination of people, so mostly technical staff, so software engineers and people who really understand these models and can use them, especially the limitations. So like I say, we want to do things safe and responsibly. We don't want people who have just done a few tutorials and they just want to like generate a whole bunch of text naively and like propagate toxicity and bias and things like that. So we want people who really understand what they're doing, they understand the limitations, they know how to apply it effectively, and software engineers who can really like deliver on the reliability and quality of service of these products.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Brother Craig. You know, the beautiful thing about being at the Indaba is that you are able to really have conversations directly with CEOs, not the media team or the marketing department, the actual CEO, the people that make the choices. And it says a lot to the fact that Craig is here looking for talent himself, you know, handpicking the people that he wants. And I think from the poster sessions, there's plenty of talent. And I'm looking forward to really seeing a lot of the AI scholars and graduates here, you know, being absorbed in, you know, African AI companies such as Bitefuse. African Bytes, live from Deep Learning Indaba.
Thank you for listening to iAfrican Bytes. Please share your feedback with us on our socials. On Twitter at iAfrican, on LinkedIn at iAfrican.com. And check out our other podcasts, The Tefo Mohapi Show, Take Legal Matters, and The Lead Creator, on all podcast streaming platforms. And also make sure to head over to www.iafrican.com. That is iafrican.com/radio. And subscribe for notifications. iAfrican Bytes is an iAfrican Media original show produced by Nzalo Mbangana and content producer and host by Don Kotokwane.